All right, so this evening, I'm wanting to come primarily from Second Chronicles, the 15th chapter. But what I want to do is I want to try to synthesize a little of where we've been by way of a summary and so forth, and then talk about I'm going to be mentioning at least probably three kings tonight. So I want to pray, and I can explain, I think, that while I'm attempting to speak on the scripture. So, but primarily tonight, it won't seem like it in the beginning, but I want to come primarily from Second Chronicles, the 15th chapter. So that might be where you turn if you decide to use your Bibles on this evening. So I'm going to pray right now. Father, we're thankful that you have given us the opportunity and the freedom to look in your word, looking in your word so we can actually understand the pattern of men and understand that since we're flesh, that there's a tendency that we will do just like some of these people of yesteryear, ancient times. And we're thankful because it's through your love that you've shown us these things. It's through your love that you've told us what you expect. We don't want to fall into the temptation of blaming you like the world does, of blaming you like someone who's selfish and feels like he or she knows better than you. You didn't ask us about how to make a star. You didn't ask us for the elements or the components to form a tree or even the very dirt that we came from. But you gave us a spirit and you want us to be obedient to you. Such an ugly word at times in our lives we've probably felt. Forgive us if that's been our heart. As little children, dear Lord, before you, help us to better understand your wisdom and your love because you give us life. We go around day by day, and this world is filled with thorns and thistles, thorns, thistles, and vipers. And you, through your wisdom, will keep us from that. Not totally remove us, but keep us from that. Help us to love what you have done by sending your son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And I ask that you help me, Father, to pray your will be done, not just our Father which are in heaven, though that's what your son gave for us, but to pray your will, to pray the scriptures, for in that we'll find that there's wisdom. Help us to die to self, but to live to you. And in that dying, Lord, if it should ever come to the moment where our physical bodies must be surrendered, painfully, peacefully, help us to be hidden in you. I want to try to teach and talk about your text tonight. So wise, so ancient, so certain and unchanging, feeble me. Help me, Lord. Help us in seeking truth to help one another. Help our children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, just as the family. Help us, Lord. As we go throughout the days, if you should let us live, help us not to be so concentrated on the responsibilities that, yes, we have, that we lose our identity in you. Help us to think like you think, talk like you talk, walk like you walk. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are our Redeemer. I ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to try tonight to actually talk about this, and I don't know it. I might be successful more in seeming like I'm teaching tonight. That's because I'm looking at this, and the more we go through, at least thus far, as we go through passages in the Kings and passages in Chronicles. It, as I've said, and I'll probably say again, it can be a little confusing. So let me tell you what my title is, and then I'm going to try to give a brief summary of where we were. I will be making allusion to sometimes by way of mentioning where things can be found and or maybe reading in that particular area. My title for tonight is Seeking to Renew God's Covenant on His Terms. Let me tell you again what my title is. Seeking to Renew God's Covenant on His Terms. Throughout the scriptures, God will see that God will give a covenant. You could actually look and see where God gave Abraham a covenant. You could actually look and see where the forefathers who came through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, so forth, you'll see where God would seem to renew a covenant or state a covenant. When the people of God left Egypt and they were going to the promised land, also known as Canaan, God told them, this is what I want you to do. This is how I expect you to live. And they agreed to it, said, all that you have said, we will do. And through the process of time, centuries, some might say millennia, God often through their, when the people of God would apostatize, it is would walk away from what God would say, it would be like he would bring that covenant back up. We see it when he talked to Saul, if you stay with me, I'll be with you. That's conditioned. Saul, if you stay with me, if you obey me, I'll be with you. I'll do exactly what I said I would do. In Leviticus, in some of those other texts from the first five books of the Bible, you'll see it. Told the same thing to David about his son and so forth. So we see that God is consistent. It's men who are inconsistent or consistently inconsistent or disobedient, but God has made a way. Seeking to renew God's covenant on his terms. As I've said prior to actually praying, I said we're going to be focusing primarily in the 15th chapter of 2 Chronicles. So again, it may not seem like it initially, but I want us to see kind of where we were on last week. On last week, I gave a title, God is with you when you're with him. And we were in 1 Kings, a portion of the 15th chapter, and a portion of 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter. We have now been introduced to Asa. Asa is the king in Judah. That's the southern region. We saw that Jeroboam passed away. He was king in the northern region, often referred to as Israel. When we were looking on last week, and I'm really hoping to be clear, because if I confuse you more than you were, maybe it's because you're tired, or maybe it's just my fault. When we were looking, we saw that actually Jeroboam passed away, or he died. But when we were looking at whether it was last week or a week before, we saw that Asa and Jeroboam, they did have some conflict. You find that conflict in 1 Kings, the 15th chapter. We're not going to turn there. 1 Kings, the 15th chapter is when Jeroboam, he was upset and angry, and he had about 800,000 men, and he was going to go against Asa. He's going to go against Asa, the king at that time in the southern region, Judah, because he didn't want any of his people going there. Jeroboam was the one who set up the calves. Jeroboam was the one who changed the dates that God had determined the people would come and celebrate the seventh month and the 15th day. Jeroboam's like, well, I'm going to change that. Well, so he wanted to go fight. We find that the Bible says that, generally speaking, or I should say overall, Asa pleased God. Asa was a good king. Now, having said that, that's the account that we see in Kings. Lord willing, in the very, in the future, in the very near future, we're going to see that Asa was a little rebellious toward the end of his life. Well, why was Asa considered a good king in Judah? Asa was considered a good king. For one thing, the Bible said that he removed the high places. When we say the high places and we speak of the groves, Tim was the first person that made that ever make any sense to me, probably about 15 years ago. Like, what's this grove thing? Well, let me just repeat a little bit of that. Because God had told them before they went to Canaan, he said, I don't want you to have any other gods before me. First of all, that should give us to know that there were other gods, but they're not above me. Therefore, you obey me. And when you come around other nations who give their allegiance to these other gods, burning their children, cutting themselves, worshiping the stars and the moon, worshiping the trees, and then having sexual relationship, orgies, and all kinds of stuff around these trees, don't do that. God said, don't do that. I am God. The way I've told you to comport yourself or behave is because of my law. I give you my law. You are my people. The other nations belong to those other gods, demons. You're not going to be like them. They'll watch you and they'll learn and they will want what you have when you live like I say. Well, so there was a little confusion that I tried to clear up on last Tuesday night. And I'm going to try to clear up some more tonight. I hope you like the fact that I repeat. I just believe it's necessary. Yes, I do. I don't even believe you're going to change my mind on that thing. So the confusion that I tried to clear up on last week about the high places, there were three verses in particular. One was 1 Kings, the 15th chapter and the 14th verse. I'll repeat it again. 1 Kings, the 15th chapter and the 14th verse, speaking of Asa, king of the south, it said that the high places were not removed, even though the Bible says he was a good king and he pleased God. However, when we went to 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, 3rd verse, still speaking of Asa, it said that the high places were removed. And then when we looked a little bit in 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter and the 17th verse, it said that they were not removed. So I'm like, I remember saying, you know what? This is kind of confusing. One of the thing that I said about that is that it may be that for a time that they were removed. But then I think even as in discussion, I think Ann had said, you know, that he couldn't see every particular place. And Drea, I think you said something about the region of Judah. So let's just know that people do stuff. So looks like that's probably what he had done at a point. And then the people began to do certain things. So that was a little bit of confusion. Now we're getting closer to where I want to start with this evening. However, when we were looking in 2 Chronicles, let me slow down just a little bit. 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, I believe it is. It said something along the lines that there was 10 years of peace with Asa. And I mentioned it, but there was something that I did not bring together for you all, because I, to be frank with you, I didn't see it that way. I was preparing for tonight, I saw it. So I want to look at this 14th chapter in 2 Chronicles, the first verse. It doesn't mean I want to teach all of that again, though I will refer to some verses shortly. Listen to how it reads in 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, in the first verse. Drew, would you read that first verse?
So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead.
Okay, so we got Asa reigning now after Abijah. Okay, now it says, read that last sentence. That's what I'm wanting to focus on.
In his days, the land was quiet 10 years.
Okay, here's the point that I want to make. Having mentioned that after Abijah died and Asa took, let's say, hold of the kingdom or became king, the scriptures tell us that there was basically 10 years of peace where there was no conflict in the sense of, let's say, war. So what I did on last week, I went on down a little bit and I started talking about this problem that he had with the Egyptians. And it, the way I did it, it made it seem, and it didn't click for me like this, that it seemed like it just almost happened. Now, somebody said, well, it said 10 years. One of the commentaries that I was looking at for tonight said that many believe that this happened in the 11th year of his reign. There is a reason why I'm telling you this in the 11th year, because we're going to look at two other kings. So I want to repeat some of this. 10 years of peace without war when Asa took hold of the southern kingdom. Then we read of the conflict where the Egyptians, I think this gentleman, that's how I speak at work, so it's a habit. In the 9th verse of 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, it says, and there came out against them, that is against Judah and Asa, Zerah the Ethiopian with the host of 1,300 chariots and came unto Maresha. So we see that there is some conflict, though not the people of God. Some scholars, as I had just begun to say, believe that that's in the 11th year. It seems that that's logical. I can't verify whether that's exactly the 11th year, but I think that's important because when we go through the Kings and a portion of the Chronicles, there's some overlapping of the king in the south, in this case, Asa, and kings from the north. I hope that makes sense. I've mentioned in this preface that I'm still giving that Asa fought against Jeroboam. He conquered Jeroboam. The Bible says that Jeroboam did not recover. I almost want to turn to it, but just I think it's 1 Kings, the 14th chapter, and somewhere in there, Jeroboam did not recover, and Asa took over some. It sounds like took some of the things, let's say, that belonged to them. Now, the problem that might happen as you're reading in Chronicles and Kings is like, okay, which king did what next? So if you're still with me, and I hope you are, before I go into explain a little bit more and then we go to the 15th chapter, 2 Chronicles, I do want to mention the kings in their order of Judah, where we've been, and I might do this in the future, but not maybe all of them. And then I'm going to mention the kings from Israel. The kings thus far that we've looked at for Judah, that is the southern region, are David, David's son Solomon, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, Rehoboam's son Abijam, and now Abijam's son Asa. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kings that we've mentioned for Judah. We're dealing with Asa. Asa's reign encompasses a few kings from the northern region. So the kings from the northern region, which the Bible often is going to refer to as Israel, we've looked at Jeroboam, who Asa actually fought against. When Jeroboam dies or goes off the scene, Nadab is the next king. Then it's Baasha. So here's where I'm going to try. It did it for me. So you might have caught it quicker than I am. I'm slow sometimes. I'm what they call a reflective reader. Takes me a minute, but I want to have it. So if it's Jeroboam, Nadab, then Baasha. If you look in the scriptures, the way it's written, at least let's say a King James version, and maybe some others, you don't see Nadab's name mentioned that much. Because his reign was short. It seems to skip from Jeroboam and go straight to Baasha. So we need to remember, at least I do, Nadab came or preceded Baasha. So what I want you to do, Dree, is I would like for you to turn to 1 Kings, the 15th chapter. I hope I'm doing this right. 1 Kings, the 15th chapter, and we're going to read verses 25 through 28. But before you read them, I want to try to give you the why I'm looking at this. So you're in 1 Kings 15, and I'm going to ask you to read it again in a minute, 25:28. Before this 15th chapter, it's going to seem like, let me make sure I'm looking at this right. Let's just go ahead and read it, and I'll talk after you read these three verses.
And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah.
I want you to pause. So let's say you might maybe distracted when she read that. And he's like, oh, you didn't even mean to be. What the verse just said is Nadab, this is king of the north. He began to reign in the second year of Asa. So he's mentioned before Baasha. But the way this 14th chapter in Kings, 1 Kings treats it, you really don't even hear about Nadab first. Now I want you to read these, read that verse again and read down through 28, please, Adrian.
And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him. And Baasha smote him at Gibbethah, which belonged to the Philistines. For Nadab and all Israel had laid siege to Gibbethon.
Okay, try to hang with me again. I'm trying to be more, in teaching mode. Nadab is mentioned as beginning in the second year of Asa. Now, I talked a little bit last week about how the years sometimes they're on different systems depending on who's talking about them. But let's go with this in the second year. And then when she read this 28th verse of 1 Kings 15, it said that Baasha began to reign in the third year. Baasha's going to kill Nadab, if you will. Now, if we were to just go back a little in this very chapter, 15th chapter of 1 Kings, and we go to, the 16th verse. The 16th verse is after we read where the high places have been taken care of by Asa, but it doesn't mention Nadab here. So sometimes what the Bible will do is it will tell you something in the future, and then it will kind of go back. What did you say? So let me give you two examples, and then we're going to read the 16th verse, and then we're almost ready to go to 2 Chronicles. In Genesis, you might read that God created man, male and female, and then you might see how, I think it's in the second chapter or the third chapter, sometimes I get it confused. Well, he'll go back and zone in on a piece of the information you got. Well, Gary, you just confused me. Well, let's think about, and it seems like I'm deviating slightly, I am, but to make a point. In the Gospel of John, we hear about Judah Iscariot as the one who's, let's say, wicked before we actually read about what he did. So sometimes the Bible will tell you something that's going to happen later, and then it'll come back to it. Does that make sense? Maybe that's what's happening right here. So Dree just read from 1 Kings 15 chapter, 25th verse through about the 28th verse. Asa had problems with Asa was reigning while Nadab was king, and then while Baasha was king. Now, the problem up north is that there's various dynasties because there was not a succession of the person who would continue to sit on the throne. Remember, Jesus, the Lion of Judah, would come through Judah. What I've mentioned in the past is that in Judah, it would be the same family, someone from David, great-grandson, great-great-grandson, something like that. But up north, you did not have that succession, the continuity of the family. Because they were, Jeroboam had messed that thing up. Actually, it was prior to Jeroboam. Am I making a little sense tonight? So while we see these other two kings mentioned from the north that Asa, at the same time that Asa was reigning, when we look in this 16th verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Kings, Baasha's mentioned first. So Dree, what I'd like you to do before we go to 2 Chronicles 15, I just want you to read verses 12 through 16. And I'm just going to make a comment or two about it, and then we're going to move on. In 1 Kings, the 15th chapter, I want you to start at verse 12 and read through 16. What I'm trying to do is to get us to see that as we're moving around, I'm trying to work with what I believe might be the closest chronology as we look at these chapters. Now, notice I said closest, because one could continue to study and study and study and hope and maybe come up with something even more succinct than what I'm saying tonight. If you'll read this, when she reads these verses from 1 Kings 15 chapter, she's talking about Asa, part of the reason why Asa is considered good. And then we're going to see how it doesn't mention Nadab. It's going to mention Baasha. Would you read?
And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her grove and burnt it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels.
Verse 16, please.
And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king. king of Israel all their days.
Stop. Now, thank you. Now, when you see that, Nadab is not mentioned right here, or Nadab. Nadab is mentioned in verse 25, but it's going to go on and recount through the scriptures what's taking place with Baasha. I don't want to talk about, well, I am, but I'm not going to talk about Baasha tonight. That's going to be, Lord willing, next week when we finish this 14th chapter of 1 Kings and look at a portion of 16th chapter, because they parallel one another, one giving a little more information. So what's my point? We're trying to kind of see now what's going on, maybe in a better timeline than I gave last week. So what I'm saying is true, and I believe it is, there was 10 years of peace under Asa without any war. So when last week we went down in 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, and we start looking at the 7th verse, this Egyptian comes up, and this is important to what we're going to see with Asa in the future. Dree just read that the Bible said his heart was perfect. That didn't mean he didn't do anything wrong. He was complete. His inclination was to do the will of the Lord, but we're going to see something with him. I pray that there's a pattern in man. And since we read the scriptures, since we discuss the scriptures, so we can say, what is it that men have done? What is it that displeased God? How are we to be influenced, or how are we to learn and live by God's Spirit? We see there are things to observe not to do and things to observe that we should do. Asa, as we look at this 2 Chronicles 15, we're going to see him renew his covenant on God's terms. Why? Because we've had a wicked king before him, Abijah, and we've had wicked kings in the north, Jeroboam, Nadab, and what's this, Baasha. There's conflict with them. So I'm going to just say a little bit more about this, and then we're going to 2 Chronicles 15. I hope I'm making sense tonight. If not, maybe you'll hear the podcast once it's posted and say, okay, maybe it makes sense. This Zerah from Egypt came up to fight against Asa, and Asa leaned on the Lord, and the Lord gave Asa victory. The Lord gave Asa victory when he fought against Jeroboam, 13th chapter of 2 Chronicles, I almost said Corinthians. Asa's leaning on the Lord. Asa's depending on the Lord. Asa knows that it is God through whom he gets his victory. Case in point. That's the way it should be for us. Regardless of how we feel, Jesus would say, it is written, it is written. Paul would quote the scriptures. Peter would quote the scriptures. It, that gum is written. Now, are the things that have been written aforetime, are they written for our learning, or are they written just for us to talk about? Because if that's all is written for, then we're just wasting our time. Because Jesus says, you love me, you keep my commandment. So the Bible talks about how, if you were still looking in this 14th chapter, 2 Chronicles, how Asa fortified the cities, built walls, how he took these cities and so forth. So we see this progression, whether it's the 11th year or not. Maybe it was the 12th, but 10 years, peace, maybe 11th year, makes sense. Let's move to this 15th chapter. Before there's 19 verses. I'm really wanting to look at about 15 of them, because we've actually done three of them. The 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles is going to pick back up with Baasha, which is where we saw it kind of jump to in Kings, 1 Kings 15. Am I making sense, Adrian?
We're going to 2 Chronicles 15.
2 Chronicles 15. Yes, we're going to 2 Chronicles 15. Okay. If you would, I think it would just be nice, because they might be saying, Gary, you've been talking a long time. If you read all the way down through, let's say, verse 14.
And the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets.
I want you to skip to verse 18 and 19 and read those two, when I'll make mention of these others that we're overlooking at the moment.
It's just 18 is the last verse.
18 is, there should be an 18 and a 19.
Not in the 15th chapter.
Okay, well, would you read, well, start at the 18th verse and read it. It should say something, and he brought into the house of God.
And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated. And that, I'm sorry, there he is.
It's okay, that's why.
He himself had dedicated silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa.
All right, thank you, Dre. Where we are at this particular point, if you were able to follow her reading, is that this looks like a time of dedication. One of the sources that I was looking at when I was looking at the 14th verse and so forth, where it took down high places and built the fenced cities for Judah. Some people believe, or scholars believe, that he was dedicating himself and Judah to the people of God. I believe it's a true statement. So a decade, at least, it looks like a past where God has blessed them. So when we go to this 15th chapter, it looks like somewhere in there, I can't tell you specifically, there's a prophet that goes and speaks to Asa, this king, this godly king, at least as we are reading it at this moment. Now this Oded, some believe that this name is associated with or is Edo. I didn't focus on that. Maybe I'll mention something in the future, Lord. If the Lord leads me that way in my studies. But I want to talk about these verses now. Let me reiterate my title, Seeking to Renew God's Covenant on His Terms. I have mentioned that God gave his people a covenant when they were coming out of Egypt. I have mentioned that God gave Saul the terms of agreement, the contract, if you will, and so forth. We're seeing God's mercy right here for people who have been stubborn, but we have a king that is, we see, wants to do God's will. So let's look at these verses a little bit here. 2 Chronicles 15:1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, I really don't know how he said it. I don't know if this Oded was old or not, but let me put it like it might have been.
Asa, come ye hither. The Lord has a word for you.
I don't mean that God's got a word for you. No. God Almighty, with whom I have been in counsel, because I seek his word. I am in his word, and you know it. I'm a prophet, and I'm coming to you to tell you what thus saith the Lord. You better open up your heart and your ears and listen to what I have to say. Don't play around with these words.
He says, and I'm back in the second, I believe, well, I just lost my place, in the second verse here. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you.
Asa, it's not a plaything. Why? Because God will leave his people. You cannot read the scriptures and see that God would not leave his people. Let me tell you why. God would leave his people because he'd want to get their attention. You survive by me. You live by me. You're victorious because of me. You were able to eat because of me. I subdue your enemies. I subdue your enemies. I was the light before you in the nighttime and a pillar before you during the day of a cloud. Me.
Asa, you will remain with the Lord. He's with you. Listen, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, if you covet God's will, if you don't put anything else before God, Asa, not your own desires. Asa, you're representing God's government before the people. Judah, don't be like Saul. Don't even do in the sense where David said, don't do that. Be like David in that he knew how to follow God. He could repent. If you are with God and you seek him, I didn't look up the word behind it, but we could just seek him. Seek him. Do you have the scriptures written with you as Deuteronomy said, David, not David, but Asa? Do you read him? Have you written your copy, Asa? Well, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But listen, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, if God is the same God and the Bible says he changes not, where are we getting this? See, what happens is, this is sort of an interjection. People want to change God's word to make them feel better about what they're doing. There is the struggle of the duality of man in that there's this physical nature, but we're supposed to be born from above. And Titus says that the grace of God, for the grace of God has appeared. It's been made known to all men, and it teaches us something. It teaches us that you have to resist the flesh. It teaches you that you have to deny those urges, those desires. And it goes against God's will. Why? Because if you seek him, you'll be found of him. So when Jesus, God's son, says, if you love me, you'll keep my word. What's hard about that? What's hard about it is the flesh just simply does not want to do it. That's what's hard about it. Because the Bible says it's enmity against God and it can't please God. But. You know what God's will is. You want to be an humble servant. Hey, this is profitable for me to obey my father. The conditions are there. Let's go back to it. Asa, you have to be with God. Be obedient. Now listen at this third verse. Now for a long season, this prophet is talking. Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Now, you could read this and it would seem like we're talking about, and it perhaps it is, the northern kingdom. One of the sources I said that is speaking of Israel as a whole. So I was contemplating that. It says for a long season. What is the season? I did not look at the word. Please pardon me. Someone may know it and can bring it up in discussion. But if we look at the history, what do we know? Even prior to the established kingdom under Saul and then the split kingdom, we see in, let's just say, the judges, that they were so very wicked. Well, we see even with the kings and in some cases in Judah, we saw some wickedness there. But thank God for the righteous ones or the kings who would be do good, if you will, in Judah. The northern kingdom just messed up. In other words, what's the point? Keep the tendency of Israel, whether it's the north or the people as a whole, especially as we continue to look at kings just in general. They go astray. How are you going to keep going astray? God would use other nations to come in and judge his people. Well, there's something to learn here. Seeking to renew God's covenant on his terms. This is what this prophet is telling this king right here. Listen, he says, Israel's been, can I say it this way? Israel's been messed up. The body that's supposed to be teaching and helping bring God's law in, it's like it's non-existent. But if you can be the vessel, you can be the godly king that helps to restore this, renew this covenant. Be, how can I say, the voice for God, along with the prophet, along with the priest, for the people. Lord have mercy. Listen at what it says in verse 4. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. So what Leviticus 26, Leviticus 26, he would tell them, if you do this, I'm going to do this. If you do this, I'm going to do this. It was up until about the 13th verse. It was all what they call, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. But when you get about to that 14th verse, Leviticus 26, he said, but if you do this, I'm going to tear you up. In other words, I'm going to judge you. But I'm trying to wake you up because you're to be my people. And since I love you, I will chastise you. So when Israel kept messing up and turning aside away from the things of God, his law, they would have problems. And God allowed those problems to see. But when they turn, so I was with him. Let's go back to this fourth verse, and I'm going to read it now. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, there's that seeking again, he was found in them. It's like he availed himself to them. Fifth verse. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with adversity. Just turmoil all over the place. The refuge and the rock would be in God. Listen at 7. Be ye strong. This prophet is telling Asa. You know the history. And if you didn't, I'm reminding you. But I'm reminding you, you got to be strong. Because there's still some things, as long as you're living, there's issues in the world in which you live. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. You can't be, Asa, turned around by kinfolk, people who want to destroy you, by the king from the north, by the people who will raise up high places. Asa, you must be steadfast in the Lord. Asa, you must remember God's law. Asa, you are the king serving on behalf of God. Let's interject here. There's not too many verses. Let me look and see what time it is that remain for this evening. We want to be sure that we are renewed in God's covenant. We want to examine ourselves. The Bible says, examine yourself, see whether you're in the faith. Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation stands assured. God knoweth them that are his. The Bible is replete on saying there's an awareness that we're supposed to have. But if we're not careful, because of the desires of our heart and the things of this world, they can remove us from our steadfastness. But we must be in the word of God. This prophet, it's like a warning. Can we call this a warning? I think we can. This is the condition, Asa. Remain. Don't grow weak. Don't grow faint in heart. Turn to the scriptures. There's going to be some things that look like they're just so great, Asa. Do you remember that Jeroboam came to you with 800,000 men and you only had 400? Asa, do you remember that Zerah, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt? Well, some say that it wasn't the Pharaoh, say it was some believe it was a military general or whatever from Egypt that came up. Do you remember, Asa, how God gave you the victory? Asa, 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 don't take these things lightly. Asa, 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 don't begin to think that you did it by yourself. Asa, God is with you. Didn't the Bible say that about Saul? God gave him a new heart. Didn't the Bible say that about David? Didn't the Bible say, but what happened? There's a pattern. Asa, Asa, Asa. You must remain with God and he'll be with you. So listen to this eighth verse. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of, now it says right here, Oded the prophet. The scholar, with the resources that I've looked at, most believe that this is still referring to the son of, son of Oded. So we saw in the first verse that it says Azariah. If you know something that's different, you can share that. As far as what we're looking at is the main crux of this passage, it should not affect what that is. That is what you got to be faithful. You got to seek to renew God's covenant on his terms. So let's go back here to this eighth verse. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy, I'm going to say of Azariah, the son of Oded, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin. So when we see Judah, we know that's the southern kingdom, but you start going up a little north and you start getting into some of the other areas. What is he doing? He's setting things in order, restoring. Well, and out of the cities, it's this tearing these idols out, which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. So we've talked about when we were going through, I think it was 1 Kings 5th chapter, 6th chapter, 7th chapter, the things that Solomon had done for the Lord. So it's talking about the vicinity of the temple as you would approach the altar. That altar was more than something where you just killed animals. It was to let the people know that you can draw nigh to God. It was to let the people know that you can come before God. With a joyful heart or with an humble heart. Lord have mercy. And then there was the Day of Atonement, but we're not about to talk about the Day of Atonement. What does this mean? Saying he was restoring the God aright in the hearts and the minds of the people. Don't just live any kind of way. So listen at verse 9. And Asa gathered all of Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with him out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance. And when they saw that the Lord God was with him. Now there's a lot here. I'm not going to pull it all out. Remember when I talked about Jeroboam and how he didn't want this was several weeks ago, his priest. He got rid of the priest that wanted to continue with the Lord. And then he chose base men. Anybody want to be a priest? Come on over here. The people from up north was looking at this. I'm going to call it revival. This renewed covenant with God. And they were leaving. Now, Jeroboam is dead and is off the scene. But it's like, okay, so we had Nadab, and then we have Baasha. And so Asa is doing this. So what Asa is doing is not only affecting Judah, but it's now starting to go beyond Judah to some of the areas of, let's say, it's the northern region, but it's the southernmost part of the northern region. This, I believe, is what God wanted. The split kingdom was never supposed to be. Oh, my Lord. Let's look at what promise God gave to David. This is conjecture on my part. Maybe if we would have had two kings who were righteous for the whole of the kingdomship split for however many years it was. I don't remember how many years it was. I know we talked about maybe 350 years Southern Kingdom and 250 years for the Northern Kingdom. So let's just say about 350 years. 400 years. Imagine two kings really wanting to serve the Lord, and then they look at the scripture and say, but you see what God said, and then they live in brotherly love, as the Bible would say. Just a thought. We come back to this, and we see that his righteousness is affecting. And this is the way the kingdom warfare is supposed to be. As we live righteously for the Lord, others are supposed to see it and want it. Well, of course, we're going to know that this is going to affect and bother the king up north. Let's continue on here. So he's affecting Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh. So when we look at these strangers, one way that I read it, and I don't, you may have another way of talking about it, it seemed that they were estranged as brothers, that it would come to the point where they would be seen as strangers. Like, we're from the south, we're from the north, and it's like, you're kind of a stranger. It's just sad. A breach in the relationship of God's family. Let's continue on. 10th verse. So the people who was understanding and wanting to be with God under what Asa was doing. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month and in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. 11th verse. And they offered unto the Lord that the same time. Drew, would you read the 11th verse? I'm not reading it like I want to.
And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep.
Read the next verse again, please.
And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul.
Listen, so we see in the second verse where Azariah the prophet is telling Asa, you got to seek the Lord. We see in the fourth verse, it says they sought the Lord. In this 12th verse, it's talking about even the others from the portion of the northern region. It says they came and they entered into the covenant, hence my title. They entered into the covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all of their heart. It's no more what I want to do. It's no more trying to please the king up north. It's what does God want? It's on God's terms. We live in what they call a postmodern society where people will take the word of God and start trying to change it. Start trying to change it. Change the what God of yesterday, today, and forever said. Negating his terms. We're going to write a new policy. We're going to write a new manual. We're going to write a discipline. I think not. Asa, God is with you when you're with him. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the Bible said, caused the people to sin because he changed things. And the people were, some of them were eager, maybe fearful, and followed along. These people sought the Lord, and the Bible said that their heart, their mind, their it was desire was to follow. Now, verse 13 is going to seem a little cruel. Listen at it. That whosoever who would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. This is the God of the Old Testament that some people will be upset with. Now, I have a few things to say here as we near, see what time it is, the end. First of all, this is God's world, and he can do with the clay what he wants to, because proverbially speaking or metaphorically speaking, he's the potter. God knows what's right. God knows what's wrong. And to God, all men live. So let's understand something. I think that's Luke, the 20th chapter, around the 38th verse. When one dies or draws his or her last breath, there is eternity. The individual is not dead. So we need to get off the fact that we're talking of a physical thing, because that's part of our problem. We're so stuck on the physical that we don't realize that this reality is not the greatest reality, is not the heaviest reality. Because when we call our, when we draw our last breath, the reality that we live here will determine what reality we have there, and it is eternal. It's over here where the litmus test takes place. It's over here where you can repent and be redeemed. It's over here where you can be saved, but nobody can put their hand in the water fountain and give you a drop, two or three drops, to quench your thirst, because it will be hell and damnation if you haven't lived right before God. Did you hear what I said? So God said that if these people who Asa don't seek me, now I'm just thinking that this is a present active voice. If this seems to be their tendency and they're going to be rebellious before me, because they're rebellious before me, they're probably dancing around the Asherah pole. They're probably going to want to have sex in the groves and have the sodomite type of sexuality. Do I have to explain it? I'm not going to explain it. Look it up. If they're going to go against God's word and what he was so kind and so merciful to explain in the beginning, his condition. He says, let them be put to death. Plus, this is my work. It may seem mean, but you accept conditions elsewhere. Think about it. Join a club, you accept the conditions. And if you don't like the conditions, then you get out of the club. You go to a job, you look at the job description. If you don't like it, then you get out. You join a society and some of these ungodly sororities, and you accept the condition. The world has a condition. Being black, being redneck, being whatever, it's got a condition. You'll accept everybody else's conditions, but you won't accept the condition of the one who made heaven and earth. You're being mean. I can say it sweetly. You'll accept the conditions from everybody else except God, and he's the one that loves you. I hope maybe that was better. Well, the Bible says that you put them to death, because what will happen is these people will turn your hearts away from me. You will turn your hearts away from me. If you can't remember, then think about Solomon. He loved strange wives. So when you go and you adopt the doctrines and the culture and the ways of the world, then you don't love me. You won't live in my wisdom, but it's my wisdom that will give you life. So if you want death, let me just go ahead and make it a little shorter for you. These things for us to think about. What's the application? Well, I'm not saying go kill somebody right now, but if we were living in the day of the Bible and we were to people, look, did you see what it says? Obama one time, probably many times, he made fun, and he really aggravated me. He made fun and said something about the God of the scriptures who said to stone your children if they disrespected or spoke ill of their parents. And God knew what he was doing, because the parents were representing God before the children. And when you have children who will come up and kill their parents, disrespect their parents, then they won't respect God. So he said, if when I give you this law, it's a deterrent so you know how to stay in line. That's what it is. Watch children without parents and see what they do. They'll tear up stuff. They'll cut themselves. They will hurt other people. They have no parameters because they haven't been taught. Let me go back to this verse. Verse 13, where are we? 12 and 13. Yes, it seems harsh, but I didn't get to write this. I'm talking about God. Look at our society, saints. Look at this crazy society. It is backwards. It will kill you. God said, I'll just go ahead and kill this. Anyway. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. That whosoever would not seek the Lord, God of Israel, should be put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. Yes. Anyway, maybe there'll be a little bit of discussion on this. Listen at 14. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. So various instruments were Spanish, played. I think in praise that there's a renewal of our covenant, but it's on God's terms. Now, these next two or three verses, we read those before. It's a reiteration or a repetition of the fact that Ace is not grandmama. You know, you can't keep worshiping these other gods. You worshiping the other. I'm setting you down. You are not queen. You're not queen, queen mother. You're not. No, that's enough. I'm setting you down. And it talks again about the high places and so forth. So we read it. So we're going to go to these last two verses here, 18 and 19. And Lord willing, we're going to pick back up with Baasha. The 16th chapter talks about in the 36th year of Asa. So we see that Asa reigned a long time. So listen at verses 18 and 19. And he brought, that is Asa, and Asa, he brought into the house of the Lord the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, What are some of these things? Silver, gold, and vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. What have we talked about tonight? I've been, maybe you say, running my mouth a while. We're looking at a king who, the Bible said, was perfect before God with his heart. He wanted to please God. He took high places down. He set his grandmother down. There were other kings. He fought with Jeroboam. You know, God gave him the victory. There was this Egyptian who came up. God gave him the victory. There was another king that we talked about from the, I think it's the 15th chapter of 1 Kings, verse 25, Nadab. We don't see Nadab here. This is why I said I need to kind of pull him back into this 2 years. And then we saw Baasha. Baasha's really going to be on the scene, Lord willing, if we're able to talk about this. But this man is dedicating the people. He's dedicating, God, this is your kingdom, renewing God's covenant on his terms. Well, that's the message tonight. There were some other things I probably could have looked at, but I was like, okay, I need to kind of bring this in. Hopefully it made sense. And things that were written four times, written for our learning. Let's keep that renewed covenant with God. It's on his terms. When we feel like, it shouldn't be, we got to remember. You know, so when we were on vacation about a month ago, I was reminded of a song. I don't know why it came in my mind, but it was a song. And there was one lyric, or I guess you call it a lyric, in the song. And this guy who was singing it or talking it, he told this lady, he said, "You just a squirrel trying to get a nut." And he was like, in other words, you don't run nothing. This is God's world. This is God's world. We're looking for something, but we ought to be looking for him. We don't run anything. All right, so let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Help us to abide by your covenant. If we should stray, smite our hearts so that we see you. We find that in your judgment. When there's still that time, that judgment is in love, we ask that you just continue to help us. We thank you for your scripture. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're open for discussion tonight. Insights, questions, thoughts, and so we're open for discussion. If I had a button, I'd play some of that do 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 do. Well, maybe there's not going to be any this evening.
Are you going to be angry if we don't say anything?
No, ma'am. I have been quiet before. Yes, ma'am.
When you was talking about his grandma, I thought about Grandma Hayes. And I was thinking, Grandma Hayes used to serve that idol. Anyway.
I was just thinking, so much for teaching.
I think it was a mixture.
It was a mixture. You got your
pooch
on towards
the end. Yeah. You did. You got your foot on. And when you were going through this, I thought about, you know, when he was reading that part about Asa and him being strengthened. And
mm-hmm.
I just thought about, what did he lack, you know? What did he lack that caused him to shy away? Kind of shy away from the duty of be timid about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just seems like, and now I can say this is sometimes, it seems like it was true for Israel, all of Israel. They lacked a will to rule. Mm. On God's behalf. And so it's the will to rule that makes the difference. And when he decided, okay, this is the covenant, because mm-hmm. the covenant is the will to rule. It mm-hmm. is the order given. It's almost like you think of in military terms, when you think about how it said that they had no priest, no teaching priest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things you think about, they were supposed to have that. And in terms of, you know, when they talk about military terms, they call it a dereliction of duty.
Yeah.
And so when you even start talking about the parents not teaching, that's a dereliction of duty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, and it's more than just, oh, it's an absent-mindedness. Because you see, it's like, okay, when it was time to turn, it's like, okay, we're going to pray to the God of our Father.
Mm-hmm.
It's that they had not a true God, which means they had a fake God, a false God.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you still know you worship and you doing stuff, but you have decided that you're not going to do it for God. And so, you know, just looking at it in terms of having a will to rule. And that's why you have certain people in charge right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have said in writing, we have the will to rule. And they don't.
Yeah.
And if we honestly feel or honestly know that God's way is right, we should have the will to rule.
Yeah.
And to renew a covenant is not to say, I'm going to church again.
Right.
It's not to say, I'm going to go get baptized again. It's not to say, I'm going to double up on my tithe.
Right.
It was what he called you to do. It's to teach his statutes and his judgments and to use them to embody righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I embody righteousness, for myself, and I'm ready to demand that from my brother.
Right.
That's my duty. That's covenant. It's not to go and get some skin cut off your penis. So
that's right.
And so, you know, it's like when we don't see ourselves as a kingdom. When we don't see ourselves as a kingdom, as a nation, we won't act like one. We won't keep the law. We won't say, hey, in this kingdom, we don't do that. You know, I think about Kenya, how they put their foot down, at least on homosexuality.
Yeah.
And say, do not come over here and do that. We don't do that. We don't allow it. You know, we kill people for that. You can go to jail for that.
Yeah.
You know, so being able to have the will to rule, and if you honestly know that God's way is good, if everybody was exactly like God say they should be, then that should be your will to rule.
All right.
So anyway, that was what I was thinking when you were teaching.
That was good. That was good. The mind. Very crucial.
Yes.
Not our mind, but his.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. Was it clear when I started looking at the Boshin and Nadab thing, there might be some element or something I was missing, but was that... clear?
It was clear. Yes, okay. It was clear.
I think that's the part, I guess, why I say I really was wanting to try to, I guess, sort of teach that part, you know. What you got, Tree? Oh. Well, thank you. Thank you for your comments. As always, Akot. There were things that we should ponder and not forget.
Yes.
It's going to get really crazy here. But, anyone else this evening?
Gary, this is Rich.
Yes, sir.
I just have... one comment. My comment really deals around our presupposition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you were talking about one section, I think in 1 Kings 15, 14, places were removed, and then in other places, high places were not removed.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, some people would look at that, maybe see a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm saying, even if we don't understand something quite right, you know, our presupposition should be that there are no contradictions in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, we may not have the answer right then at our fingertips, but that has to be our presupposition.
Yes, sir.
I could see, just from the way that you taught, that you spent a lot of time preparing, and it was really good. You know, I mean, I enjoyed it. That's my little comment, you know, and I think you did an excellent job. I really did.
Well, thank you, and praise be to God. But I'll say this, Brother Rich. Sometimes when I'm looking at it, I'll see something that I didn't, because I might look at a different commentary or whatever. I might read more in the scripture than in let's say a commentary. And of course, commentaries often will lead me to look at something. And in some cases, I've forgotten part of the passage or a lot of it. So when I was looking at it, I was like, man, I didn't say that last week. I didn't bring this up. But I'm like, well, what's wrong with this evening? So fill in the gap. And I think that I just want to try to be true to the text. But I just know, like, when I'm looking at it, like, well, if I feel kind of like, oh, then maybe someone else feels like, oh, so to try to bring that in. And to be honest with you, sometimes I think, okay, what might Tim say, or what might Ann say, or what might, you know, someone else think, you know, say from the congregation. And sometimes that'll help me try to bring something forth. But I'm still learning, and I think a lot of this will stick, because I know it's been a little while since we've gone through it, but I think it'll just help fill up as we go through more scriptures, whether it's in the Kings or not. So, but I'm glad it made sense, but I'm just gonna keep trying to make it more like how we probably should see it, you know, as a whole, as far as history is concerned, and so forth. So thank you for your comments.
All right.
Is there anyone else this evening?
Can I say this a beautiful thing? To be able to see the importance of a father?
Yes.
You see, you mentioned Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. Then you look at his two sons, and I think after him, them come Omri, or the one that started with a Z and then Omri.
No. Zimri. You're fading a little bit. It's kind of like you go in and out.
I probably went through a bad cell.
Okay.
And so what ends up happening is, not only do you cause your nation to sin, you destroyed your home. Do you know what a high privilege it is for God to give you to execute his judgment? The high privilege that God has entrusted you to administer justice and righteousness in the land, and you blow it. You blow it. In a real sense, being a king doing that is the same in so many ways, like Adam being given the whole world. And in his rebellion, he blows it. The king's job was to execute God's judgment, to promote righteousness, to honor God. It's not his kingdom. And so when you see that kind of folly within the king, it hurts. It hurts in the sense of, what if we had seen someone that had really modeled it and really saw what God would do, and it would be an encouragement to us to do better. But what we end up having to do is look at what God did to them and what the king did to his nation and say, we don't want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a privilege to be a father and to be able to execute God's righteous judgment. But then when you look and you see with no equivocation, they don't take away, or it's just been like this, they have high places. Why? Why do you have high places? What's the point? You've got all of these high places. And so once you see that that's in the scripture, then the next thing I think for a person to do is to look and see, how would that be represented in my life or in our life? Maybe we have a high place our denomination. Maybe we have a high place our political party. Maybe we have a high place some kind of activist group. Or maybe we have a high place that, well, person better never smoke. And we make that equal to God's law. You understand? You a high place, something that you exalt, to be equal to a paramount to God's law. And they always have to deviate if it's not his. And so we're looking at that. We see, or at least I see, there's always much that can take place to destroy a person. You think God left out this. God didn't do that. Well, it's a little different now. You know, it's a little different now that I'm on the throne. Ace is down there in the south, and I'm up here in the north. It's a little different. So Moses is not here now. And so we're going to do something new. And we better be watchful of those that are given to change.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are given to hope and change, you better be afraid of it. Because when they do that hope and change, sometimes the change is the hope that they're looking for.
Yeah.
God is consistent. So thank you for the message. And I like the way you came to him. I like that voice.
Go.
I like that because a lot of times, you know, we think, you know, well, God's going to be with me and all of this. Well, if God is who I believe he is and the scripture teaches and doesn't change, he ain't always with you, partner.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say it, you incorrect English, which will make me feel happy. He are not always with you. He's not. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not what's taught nowadays. Just that little bit.
Nope.
I wish you would do it one more time in that voice. I like it so many hundreds. Say it.
You said that he's not always with you?
The way you said, yeah, when the prophet came to him, to Asa.
Hear my words. If you will be with God, he will be with you. But if you will turn from God, he will leave you. I don't know if that was close
enough.
Good
enough. Yeah, but understand that modern day Christianity has said, oh, those are old scriptures, those don't matter anymore. That's not the way God is anymore. But Jesus said explicitly, he said, it's for you to stay in his Father's love,
mm-hmm.
as he has stayed in his Father's love, and so shall you be my disciples. He told him. You know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask, they know that part.
Mm-hmm.
But that part where he talks about it's his desire that you would, you know, keep his commandments, and then you stay faithful to God, you would abide in his love, even as he has kept his Father's commandment and abide in his love. That's not taught. But I think that's the exact same thing he said to Asa.
Yeah.
Different way of saying it. So that's all I have to say. There's so many ways that you move away from God. You move away from God many times doctrinally before you move away from God in the things that you do.
Yeah.
It's like when you move away doctrine and you start doubting and having things in your own way in your mind, it's just going to be a matter of time before you figure out how to do it the rest of your life.
Yep.
I believe
just
that.
It follows suit because that'll be the principles by which you live. You know, once you got that principle, then it's determined that it's okay. That's okay. The policy changing, you know.
And so. I do believe that politics for some people are their high places. I do.
Yeah.
I believe that some people, if God's word say differently, if the Republican part say differently from God's word, I'm Republican. Or I'm conservative. Or I'm Democrat or progressive. God can't mean that. Because it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. That's all I got. I don't want to add any more and belabor it. You've already taught the lesson. And Andrina had to clean up. So I'm just going to sit back and enjoy.
Well, I thank you all for calling in. I want to see if there's anyone else who has a comment or a question before. Maybe if you had something to say, and just because it sounded like I was getting ready to close out, that doesn't mean don't speak up. But if no one does speak up, I'll close out in a few seconds. Well, thank you all for calling in. My desire is, again, to finish up the 15th chapter of 1 Kings and look at how Chronicles either gives a little more information or so we're looking at those two texts, hopefully. So, Lord willing, we'll connect back up on this coming Thursday and still be in the 82nd chapter of Psalms. So we love you all. Let's continue to pray for each other. And if we haven't, let's do. All right. So good night, everybody. Love you.
Good night to all. We love you too.